Thank you, worship team. Friends and family of GCBCR, good morning. All right, what better way to start the new year off by asking a controversial question, right? Can I love Jesus but not be part of a local church? Oh, dang. The English Ministry Fellowship made me preach on this, okay? So if anything goes wrong, it's their problem. But this is a very fundamental question. Can I love Jesus but not be part of a local church? After all, is it not enough to just love Jesus, right? Do I have to be part of a local church? Being part of a local church doesn't contribute to my salvation, so why bother? The local church isn't something that Scripture explicitly says. If you look for Scripture and say you must join a local church, you can't find it anywhere in Scripture. Doesn't it seem a little legalistic to say, why do I have to put a name on a list? Right? These are all legitimate questions to ask. Is loving Jesus not enough? Why do I have to be part of a local church? So those are the things we're going to unpack this morning. But before we start, I want us to look at a couple people and the way they live. And we want to ask the question, is the way that the folks that are living in the next couple slides okay? Is their lifestyles okay? Is their understanding of loving Jesus accurate? Is their idea and theology around the local church, is that a good theology or not? So this is the first person. We'll call him Brian. Brian's a solo Christian. Okay, Brian loves Jesus tremendously. He's got Love Jesus stickers everywhere, on his laptop, at his work, on his fridge. He listens to YouTube videos and podcasts from the best preachers from his couch on Sundays. He doesn't find it necessarily to be around a bunch of Christians. He is very comfortable, very satisfied, just being a solo Christian and listening to great preaching online. This one, we'll call her Judy. Not this Judy. This is the other Judy, the dark one. But Judy is a consumer. She loves going to different churches, checking out the various churches. You know, which church has the best programs? She'll be there until she learns about another church that has a better program. She'll go check it out. So she's just going around church to church, really experiencing great services from some of the best churches. This one, we'll call him Ben. Ben is a social Christian. Whenever there's events, whenever there's parties and games that are related to church, whenever small groups are doing really fun things, he's always there. All right, Ben just hangs out. He loves hanging out with a lot of people, but he doesn't really find it necessary to join other things that are part of church. This guy has no name because he's invisible. This person comes in after worship because he doesn't find singing to God valuable. He's really interested in the preaching, though. So he comes, he listens to the preaching. As soon as the preaching's done, he slips out the back. You never see this person. That's why this person is an invisible Christian, got no name. This one, we'll call her Irene. Irene's a casual Christian. She attends church sometimes, but the friends that know her the best, that knows what's going on in her life, are not church people. It's outside of church. We'll call this next person, who should we call? Paul? Okay, Paul's a fortress. He's a fortress Christian, okay? He's involved in church, he serves in church, But really, that's about all he does. He doesn't feel the need to be part of the community. He'll come on Sunday, he'll serve in some capacity, but Paul doesn't really have a lot of community friends here. So if you look at this, you probably can identify with one of these, right? Maybe you are one of these. Maybe you know people who are like that. I can honestly say I've been all of them. Through my journey as a Christian, I've believed at initially, I really didn't need to be part of a church. I could just listen to really quality teaching online. Winnie and I, we've been consumers. We've gone to different churches looking for better community and services, especially when we had kids. We're like, we need to go to a church with excellent childcare, Sunday school, that kind of stuff. I've been the social Christian, you know. I don't show up on Sundays. I just go whenever there's a party. So I've been all of these, and they've been part of my journey. And if you ask every single one of these folks up there if they're Christians, they would all say, I am a Christian, and I love Jesus dearly. Okay, none of them would say, I don't love Jesus. They would all say, I love Jesus. But they do not find the church, the community, a central part of their faith. It's just not something that's relevant to them. And so they can not show up at church. They can show up but not be part of the community. They just don't find the people, the church, something that's integral to their faith. And like I said, I've gone through all of that. And we can really conclude that they have a very warped and broken view of the church. Up till this point, I still had a very broken view of the church. And it's reflected in our church, because if you look around, there are people like this all over our church. It's something that our church leadership have done a poor job of, especially myself. We just have not been clear, what does it mean to be a community that is vibrant and healthy, right? We've never really set that kind of expectations. You just come to church, we accept you as part of the community, and we just never tell you what's expected. And so that's why the leadership here have just done a terrible job. We've just never been very clear about what it means. We've never really done good, solid biblical teaching on what it means to be a church member, to be part of a local church, right? If I did a survey right now on how many of you guys have ever been taught in this church about what it means to be a church member, I might not get any hands up here, because we have never taught that. Even before I was a pastor, this was not something that was very important in our church. And so today, as we unpack some Bible verses and we dive into the theology of what it means to be a local church, hopefully this will help us gain a better understanding, okay? And to understand, what does a local church mean? Who is the local church? What's expected of me as a Christian who's trying to grow in my faith and love for Christ and for his community? What does that look like? So we're going to unpack that today. And hopefully after today, none of you guys can say, I've never been taught on what being part of a local church means. Okay, this would be at least the starting point. There are like semester-long seminary classes on this, okay? And we're going to attempt to do this in 30 minutes. But this is hopefully to get you an idea of what it is. There will be a little bit of a homework afterwards so that you can reflect on what this means. I will also tell you that for the last couple of weeks, I've contacted pastors from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the South to the North, and just asking them, you know, what are their thoughts on church membership? What does it mean to be part of a local church? And the ones that are healthy, the ones that are united, the ones that are growing, the ones that have a vibrant community, are the ones that set expectations. They say, this is what it means. The ones that aren't growing, the ones that are declining and plateauing, are the ones that never set expectations and say, when you're part of this community, this is what it means. Okay, so hopefully our group here, especially in the English ministry, wants to strive to be a community that's more vibrant, more mature, better, a community that people want to join going forward. So this is one of the things that we're going to work on this year, is to just set this kind of expectations and help with the health of this community. And there's a couple big things coming up that if you are part of this community, it's going to be very important for you to be invested in it. Number one, you've probably seen the growth of the adults in the English side. And so as more adults join us, we need to know what does it mean to be part of this community, right? Secondly, in the next 2 to 5 years, there's going to be critical decisions around staffing, around church building, and possibly rebranding of the English ministries. And we want you to be an integral part of that decision as well. So to set all that up is to say being part of a local church is important. Why? Because Jesus loves the church. He loves the church, his bride, and he calls us to do the same. So we're going to look at a couple passages here where Jesus says that. You know, he shows his love for his bride. And if he does that, could we assume that he would tell us not to love his bride? Probably not. All right, so first passage, Ephesians 5:25. First passage is Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wife. This is one of those passages that you'll probably hear in weddings where they set expectations for what a husband, what a godly biblical husband is supposed to do with his wife. And also sets expectation for what a wife is supposed to do with the husband, right? And this passage, scripture explicitly ties Jesus' love for his bride, his church, with the analogy of a marriage. He says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So not only did Jesus love the church, his bride, but he literally gave his life. He died on a cross. He resurrected so that his bride would have eternal life with him. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 12, it says, so Christ gave himself, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. See, Christ not only redeemed his bride, Christ also provided people in the local churches as pastors, as evangelists, as prophets, all these people with different gifting. Why? It says to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So for a church, for a local church body to be mature, Christ provided people with certain gifts to help us grow and equip us. That's how Jesus shows his love for the bride. Here's another one. Hebrews 10:24-25. Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So those six personas that I showed you in the beginning where people kind of relax about their commitment to the local church, it's not something new. In fact, Christ knew this was going to happen, right? He says explicitly here, people are going to give up meeting. They're going to give up. They're going to do other things that are more important. But as a local body of Christ, you need to spur each other on. You need to hold each other accountable. You got to do all these things and encourage one another as you see the day approaching. And so Christ loves his bride. Christ provided people to the local church to equip his bride. And he also says, do not give up meeting with one another. And so these are the things that we see all through scripture. You can find tons of scripture like that where Jesus expresses his love for the bride, the church. And he calls the people who call him Lord and Savior to do the same. You can't love Jesus and ignore the bride, which is the church, right? If you love Jesus, you're going to invest yourself in the bride, the church. Okay, so then the question becomes, who is the church? Who is the bride? Do we invest in anyone and everyone? Anyone and everyone? Or is the bride, the church, a certain group of people that you have made a covenant relationship with that says, I'm going to invest in your life, right? I'm going to be part of the household of Christ. I'm going to get in your face and be like Joe, asking very uncomfortable questions because we care about what's going on in your life? Who are these people that Christ calls the church, his bride? Right? We're not going to invest in everyone's life. We're going to invest in a certain set of people's life. And who are these people? Well, the Bible gives a lot of indication that there is such a concept. And like I said, you know, if you try to find scripture for join a local church, you're not going to find any verse that says that. But the way that the early church functioned, it gives us a lot of indication as to they knew who was in the local church and who wasn't. And they did conduct themselves in certain ways that shows that. And so we're going to go through three things today that shows the local church does exist. The local church knew who was part of that body, and they kept each other accountable with very deep relationship investments in each other, okay? So the three things we're going to look at is this. Who is the local church? The first is from Romans 12, verse 4 through 8. You might be familiar with this passage. Romans 12, 4 to 8. Romans 12, 4 to 8. For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Literally, this passage uses the word member, right? That's why in many churches, they would use the word church member to identify that local church community. And so this one tells us here that the body knows what's part of the body, right? You know your hand is part of the body. You know your eyes is part of the body. You know what's foreign to your body. And so this happens quite a lot in our house. When I'm watching TV downstairs, I will hear Winnie scream upstairs in the break room. Okay, she'll go, ah! Okay, I can't replicate how she screams because she's got like a weird kind of scream that makes you just go like, what in the world just happened, right? She's not here right now, so I can tease her and make up all kinds of stuff about her. But she has this scream sometimes, and I have to run upstairs and ask her, like, what's going on? And she'll be running around the bedroom, you know, like a crazy person. And she'll scream, bug, bug, bug. So I don't want to give the impression that our house is bug infested, because it's not. But occasionally, like, one or two stink bug gets into our house. And so she likes laying on the bed watching YouTube, you know, on the TV. And occasionally a bug will, like, fall on her body. She's a bug magnet. I don't know why, because they don't fall on my body. But bugs, like her body a lot. And it falls on her body, and she yells. Okay, she is a yeller. And the reason I tell that story is because even though the bug is on her body, she knows the bug is not part of her body, right? It's something foreign. So she just flicks it off as she runs away, and then she calls me in to kill the bug and flush it down the toilet. But the whole reason I tell you that is because the body knows what's in the body and what's not. Think about it from a medical perspective. Cancer, it's in the body, but it's not part of the body. And that's why when you go and have cancer screening, they cut it out or they shoot chemo to kill it. It's not part of the body. And so that's the first picture that we're given, is there is a body. There's things that are in the body and there's things out of the body. The second picture that we're given around how do you identify the local body is in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, have confidence in your leadership. He's talking to the elders, okay? Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So he's essentially telling the local church body, you got to submit to the authority of the elders in the church. Right? So that's a command. Submit to your elders. And then he says the reason you got to do that is because the elders have to give an account. So like me, I'm an elder of a church. When I meet Christ Jesus, I have to give an account of whether I have shepherded this group well or not. So let me ask you, think about a famous preacher right now, okay? Can you guys name a famous preacher? I'll get Tom. Tom, who's like the most famous preacher, you know, or like someone you watch on YouTube?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. Okay, great example. So Billy Graham is a preacher. He, most of us see him as a spiritual leader. So if I was to ask Tom, I say, Tom, are you, according to this passage, are you supposed to submit to the authority of Billy Graham? It's not a trick question. Tom's like, Okay, every time I ask you a question, it's not a trick question. I'll give the answer. The answer is no, because Billy Graham isn't the elder of this local church. And so Tom would not submit to his authority, because when Billy Graham goes to meet Christ, Christ is going to ask him, right, have you an account of your sheep? That would be the church that he's at. So Billy Graham wouldn't give an account for Tom here, who's not part of his church. And so this gives you the idea that the local church knows who are the local church leaders that they would submit their authority to. And the church leaders know who are the local church members who he is accountable for giving an account when he meets Christ. Right? There's a group that's the local church, and then there's those that aren't. So any random person walking in here, I would not have to give an account because they're not part of this church. They're not submitting to my authority, nor am I having to give an account to random people who walk in here. So again, this is another picture that there is a local church body of how the early church was functioning. I'll give one last example. 1 Corinthians 5:11 through 13. 1 Corinthians 5:11 through 13. So this passage here, something immoral is going on in the church. Some guy decided he's going to marry his dad's wife. Okay, so that's what's going on. And Paul here is trying to address what's happening, and he's trying to correct that person. And I want us to see how they function as a local church here. He says, but now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. So we see here there's a guy, he's doing crazy stuff with his mom. And so Paul comes along and says, as a church, you cannot tolerate this. You have to excommunicate this person because he's going to make what he's doing seem okay. As a church and people who are holy, you cannot tolerate this. And so he says, expel, right? Expel it from the church. And so this gives us an idea that there's people who are in the church and there are people who are not in the church. When I first got married, on our wedding day, my mom and my sisters, I have three sisters. My mom and my sisters came up to me, and my mom said, Carter, if you ever cheat on Winnie, we are dumping you, we are disowning you. You will no longer be part of this family. I'm like, thanks, Mom. You know? Wow, I was expecting like, oh, be a great husband, love your wife, that kind of stuff. My mom said, don't cheat on your wife. That's how she, that was her word of wisdom on my wedding day. And so, even in families, we understand the concept that there are those who we accept as families, and those who, if they do grievous, immoral stuff, you know, we just can't accept it. And so, I've listened to that, not cheated so far. That is still my goal, not to ever cheat on my wife. And so, hopefully, you know, when I meet God, I can be like, all right, listen to my mom's advice. But as we look at these three examples, there's this idea that there is such thing as a local church. The church knew who was in. The church knew who was part of that body. The church knew that if something was creating issues in the body, to expel it. And so going back to the question of, can I love Jesus but not be part of a local church? It's not possible. When you love Christ, you have to love the church because he calls us to do so. And when you love the local church, you got to function within the local church. So how do churches manage this? In most cases, they would use church membership as a way to live this out, okay? But first, let me just say the goal of our church here isn't for you to be on a membership list. That's not our goal. Our goal is to have a healthy, vibrant, unified, growing community. And one of the tools that we use is the church membership list. So our goal isn't get as many names on here as possible. Just want you guys to know that. Our goal is to have a healthy, vibrant community. And so whether you are on the list or not as of right now, here's something that I would like for all of you to consider. In your bulletin, there's this. It's called the 6 Pledges of a Church Member. It's taken from a book called I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. So, like I said, when I was doing benchmarking with a lot of churches, the vast majority of churches that had such a thing as church membership and they had church membership classes and that kind of stuff, they used this book as a basis to help folks understand what it means to be a church member. So the book goes through 6 key aspects of being a church member. The first one is I will be a functioning church member, meaning I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be an active, invested person in the community. Pledge number 2 is I will be a unifying church member. When conflicts happen at church, a lot of people just run. No, this is saying when stuff happens at church, I'm going to stay there. I'm going to be a peacemaker. I'm going to unify the people of God instead of splitting people up. Pledge number 3 is I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. This is a hard one for me because I have a lot of preferences and desires, and we have got so many personalities, so many ideas here that most of them don't jive with what I want. And the pledge here is to say, I don't let my desires be a priority over the church. Pledge number 4, I will pray for my church leaders. Yeah, your leaders need this every single day. Pledge number 5, I will lead my family to be healthy church members. So not only are you to be part of the community, but you have to teach your kids, what does it mean to be a healthy church member? And finally, pledge number 6, I will treasure church membership as a gift. Okay, so it's a gift, it's an honor to be part of a community, to be able to serve the bride of Christ. And so don't take it lightly. So whether you're a member or not of this church, I pray that you look at this list and say, you know what, these are things that I'm willing to put my name on, and I'm willing to live out these principles because I'm part of this community. The other one, which Yao Ming at the back has, is church membership. So this will be the next step, right? Everyone is going through their journey. I don't know what journey or which part of the journey you're going through right now, of how you see the local church community. Maybe you're at the point right now where you say, you know what, I want to put my name formally on a piece of paper that says, yes, I'm willing to invest in this community in a very deliberate and active way. And church membership will be it. So Yao Ming has that. If you're not a church member and that's something you're thinking about, he has it. Just grab it, fill it up. It's a very simple form. Like I said, you know, this is not a legalistic thing. It's kind of like a wedding, right? You can, so I could tell Winnie I love her all I want, but until I sign that paper to say I'm wedded with her, I haven't truly made 100% commitment to my wife. And so that's the thing, that I know everyone is on a different journey. Some of you may take 5 minutes, you pick up that form, you fill it in. Others, this may be a 10, 20-year journey for you. But I pray that today, as we've gone through some of the texts and understand what it means to be part of the local church, you know, you will continue to invest in learning what that means. You will continue to read scripture and say, is this something that is important to me? So the way that we formally manage that in this church is through our church membership list. So hopefully all of you have a better idea what it means. And, you know, like I say, whether you're a church member or not, we desire your active participation in this community. We desire one that is mature and unified and growing and vibrant. And so our church have been pretty relaxed with church membership. So I don't expect us to like go from relaxed to super legalistic about church membership. But it is a journey that I hope all of you will come along with us as we discover what it means to be to have meaningful and biblical church membership. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. We thank you, Lord, for this community, God. I can't express how many times this community have really lifted me up and encouraged me, Lord, during times when I really struggle. And I thank you, Lord, it is because of those who have a solid understanding of what it means to be a local church, Lord, that I get to experience that. And I pray for each person here, God, that each of us can experience community in the way that you have designed the local church. And Lord, I pray that each person here, Lord, can, over the course of this week, really think about what it means to be part of this community, Lord. And I pray that they're willing to invest in this community, Lord. We want to see this community to be one that is vibrant, one that is building people up and changing lives and transforming lives, all because of what Christ have done, all because Christ demonstrated that through his love for the bride, the church. We desire that. In your name we pray. Amen.